Hi there. If you like what we do here at ProWrestling.net and want to show us some support, make sure to become a ProWrestling.net member. For $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out, or $5.50 a month if you want to take the annual option, you get ad-free access to the ProWrestling.net website, both on the web and mobile web. I think both are the internet, but still. Plus, you get access to all of our member-exclusive audio updates, including reviews of every major wrestling show and the .NET Weekly Audio Show, where Jason Powell and a guest often talk first-run news, talk the news of the week, and get you kind of in a good headspace for wrestling that week. If you have any questions about it, hit up Jason Powell on Twitter, and we would love your support. Additionally, review us on iTunes, retweet the links when Jason puts them out, tell your friends about the ProWrestling.net All Access podcast. Thanks so much. Enjoy the show. This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, John Cena and Roman Reigns verbally tear each other apart. Does it make us want to see a match? So, Jake, we've both talked about John Cena and Roman Reigns and the segment they had on Monday night with Jason. But now that he's gone, we can say how we really feel. We both had a little more time. I had just barely watched the segment when I talked about it with Jason, and I know you and Jason, I think, recorded Tuesday morning, so a very similar thing. As we sit here and talk about it today, did the John Cena and Roman Reigns segment make you more excited to watch John Cena versus Roman Reigns at WWE No Mercy?
You know, I was already, fairly interested when they initially, I probably saw the news hit the web before they even had the talking segment that match had been booked and they were, going to promote it on Raw. And so I was like, well, this is kind of surprising. We're already going to get Reigns and Strowman. And so this, kind of feels like two potential WrestleMania matches kind of being tossed out there for No Mercy. And so it's exciting, just on that front alone. It's two matches that you don't think you'd see until you get into WWE's very loaded time of the year, and so we're going to get them in September, which is pretty cool. But I don't think the segment on Monday really increased my excitement level for the match. The further I get away from it, the more the negatives sort of kind of creep into my mind, and then hindsight's always 20/20. And of course, the more you analyze something, the more you tend to pick it apart. But I'm just not a huge fan of what we saw.
I definitely agree there. I want to be excited about that match. I think it is a big match for WWE. I think it's actually the biggest match they can make of main roster talents. Like, it's huge. It is the two standard bearers of WWE, in a sense, clashing. So I want to be excited about it. I will be excited about it when it happens. I think once it's in the ring, John Cena versus Roman Reigns is going to be phenomenal. But I can't get over the way they chose to promote it, simply because I don't know if you're having the biggest fight of your two, in your universe, the two biggest and most important stars you could have. I don't know that the way to promote it is breaking apart that universe and saying these are just guys. That's the weirdest thing to me. Like, the idea of going into the world and just tearing it down, I'm not a fan of it. I don't think it works. And I think, like you said, it causes people to break it apart. It causes people to pull it apart and want to look at every angle of it. And it doesn't, the more you do that, the less it holds up and the less exciting it gets. At that point, it stops being emotionally effective as a tool.
Well, what do they talk about next Monday? Like, if you're developing a story arc and yeah, you start day one by having John Cena, you just flay Roman Reigns alive on the microphone, because it's pretty much what happened on Monday. and, you know, just kind of air out all of the, you know, the criticism, and most of it, you know, sounded like fan criticism and online criticism that people have been levying at Roman Reigns for years, you know, on podcasts like this and on social media and on message boards. And I mean, if you spend any amount of time reading about why people don't like Roman Reigns, I think they encapsulated it fairly well in John Cena's promo. Like, what's the next week? Like, do you have to have Roman Reigns get the upper hand by continuing to escalate, you know, the personal attacks that aren't really based on who his character is on WWE TV, but instead, you know, things in his personal life or backstage that have irked people over the years? Like, it's like there's really nowhere to go from where they are that doesn't alienate more fans who really don't care about things that are happening outside of WWE's fictional universe. And so, I mean, you run the risk of pushing away the types of fans that you really want Roman Reigns and John Cena to attract to your business. And so that's why I question this as a method of promotion. Certainly you get people's attention, and especially online, you have people talking about it like, oh, this is just like, you know, the Attitude Era or whatever, you know, that people like to remember fondly as being, you know, when wrestling kind of opened up the curtain to backstage and things sort of kind of bled onto the screen. But at the end of the day, I don't think WWE's current creative output leads me to believe that they can do this with enough nuance that I would want to watch it for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Like, it almost seems like they have to go back to, these are two fictional guys who don't like each other for fictional reasons next week. And then it makes the first one seem even more incongruous than, you know, than it should.
Yeah. I wonder where they go from there and how exactly you can build that feud at this point and still believe, because one of the ideas of wrestling is suspension of disbelief. When they get in there and start punching each other, hey, I want to believe it's real and cheer for someone. I mean, next week, I think I said this to Jason too, but next week they should just come out in suits and have a full-on debate about who should go over. Like, using those words, doing that entire thing. Like, hey, Vince, when you circle my name on the booking sheet, this is why. This is why it should happen. And then Roman winks and says, baby girl. I don't understand why they wouldn't do that at this point, because they broke that universe so much. And I know WWE has done it before, and they think it works. Like, Punk kind of convinced them that it worked. But the thing with, say, you know, CM Punk's quote-unquote pipe bomb, it worked within the universe, too. I've kind of said that since we started doing this show, is that I think it was a good promo within the storytelling universe he was in. He didn't break down every wall. He mentioned some things that people never mentioned at the time, like Ring of Honor and Paul Heyman, but he said, in the end, I will fight you and I will take the title from you in my hometown of Chicago. And that's what that promo was about. Where is that sort of thing from John Cena and Roman Reigns? There was no like, hey, we're going to fight and it's, you know, and it's going to be big and it's going to matter and be important and send ripples throughout history. It was just, well, you're bad at being a good guy. Yeah, well, you're part time now. Cool.
And like, and you're not a very good promo. Like,
yeah.
Okay. You know, that was the part that stuck out to me. It's just like John Cena was criticizing like a version of himself from 10 years ago. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know, you know, what he saw in that made, you know, that made him excited enough to go out there and really put a lot of energy into cutting that promo. But I think the best wrestling feuds are ones where you initially, you know, you put your opponent over and then you tell everybody why you're better anyway, you know. And I don't think they, you know, they really sought out to do that with this. It really felt like they were trying to take Roman down a peg or two, you know, from an ego standpoint, and see if he was resilient enough to sort of fight back and claw back and make that promo interesting. And I guess it turned out that they hadn't written enough for him meaningfully to tear, you know, back at Cena, that it just came across like he got steamrolled. And I don't know if that was the goal goal, or if they were hoping he would, you know, sort of go off script and take a few extra jabs at Cena, that, like, you know, Cena did to him when he flubbed that line and forgot his place in his promo. But it just didn't happen. And so I think they're going to have a lot of work to do, you know, to make Roman feel like a credible threat at this point, because Cena really did nothing to do so, you know, in Monday's promo.
Yeah, it is. There's nothing that can really be done more. It just feels broken. It feels like a honestly broken promo from a broken system. And I know that some people do get excited about it. I know that, you know, someone using the word promo on TV makes people get all jazzed that now they're shooting, brother. But I mean, Vince Russo used
the
word promo on TV all the time.
Like internet marks is what it comes across. Like, oh, you know, they mentioned our city. Oh, they mentioned these insider terms. Yeah. Everybody clap like a seal. You know, it's just a different method for eliciting the same sort of autonomous reaction. Like they know they can get a certain portion of the crowd fired up when they mention, you know, this list of terms. It's the same thing.
And they know the internet will get jazzed about it. And I will say it created discussion, so that's cool. But Jake, I don't feel like a lot of the discussion has been, oh my God, I can't wait to see this match. It's been like, what are they doing?
Or, you know, what is it going to be next week? Is it, you know, can they escalate it even further? And I don't know that they can, you know, not without damaging both characters further. You know, it's a dangerous line you have to walk when you start doing things like this. And so I'm sure Cena would be capable of it. He's certainly more adept on the microphone and playing the insult game than Roman Reigns seems to be. It seems to be a struggle for Roman to just go out there and remember scripted lines. And so I think they're really, you know, the way that they've staged this so far is it plays very strongly into what Cena is good at and very strongly into what Roman is not good at. And if the end result is, you know, 2 months from now after this feud is over, however long it lasts, that John Cena is going to be shaking Roman's hand because he earned his respect and sends him on down the road towards, you know, his redemption arc with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I mean, there's a lot of damage that could be done in the meantime that may make fans less likely to want to cheer him in that scenario. So I think they're walking a very landmine ridden field right now. They have to be very careful with how they proceed.
Yeah. And hopefully they're able to kind of draw it back and tell a real story and not whatever it is they did on Monday night this coming week. Jake, what's making you happy in wrestling this week?
You know, we talked about it already, but I was really sort of pleased with the way the first round of the Mae Young Classic turned out. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, some of the, I guess, better matchups in the second and third rounds before they get to the final. So I think there's a lot of reason for optimism for me when it comes to some of the women in this tournament. I think they would add some dynamic elements to WWE's women's roster that are just kind of missing right now.
I'm with you on the Mae Young Classic, and I'll say something making me happy is something I went back and watched this morning. The Rock's Royal Rumble 2013 promo. I'm someone, long-time listeners, people who have read my writing, I'm quick to point out that The Rock's a little problematic, that not really my favorite wrestler, not my favorite character in wrestling. But this promo was, I mean, literally a copy and paste of the Dusty Rhodes Hard Times promo, but worked so exceptionally well in 2013 and had a bit of sincerity that is missing from a lot of wrestling today. And I really appreciated it going back and watching it and just being like, oh, yeah, that's fun. That's effective. This guy's good at stuff. And I'll say, I think he is good at stuff. So that is making me happy this week.
That's an interesting point. I think we could use a little bit more sincerity overall in the product. So,
yeah,
it's a good idea.
I would agree. And we'll leave it at that.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast.
For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.